Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel before floor, an hour before every game. Post up 5R as soon as the game ends, and plenty of other programming. Had a big Hurricanes stream tonight. We had a Marlins stream today. We had a Panthers stream the day before. So we cover all the South Florida sports there. We do that also on fivereasonsports.com. Make sure you spell that one out. We do not have a paywall. You can get the latest articles from Brady Hawk there. And you can hear Brady here on Five on the Floor. His appearances are sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein. If you're looking for a personal injury attorney, this is the guy to go to. He specializes in personal injury law, including car accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice, and more. He went to St. Thomas University, right down here in South Florida. He's a huge South Florida sports fan as well. You catch him at all the Heat games and everything else. So go local, go with our guy, Eric. You can trust him. 954-829-ERIC. Again, that's 954-829-ERIC, or on Instagram at Ask About Me, I Got You. That's Ask About Me, I Got You. Again, 954-829-ERIC. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. As I mentioned, I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Alex Toledo is at the game along with Alejandro Villegas, so make sure you're following their Twitter accounts, including Alex's. He's going to be at the post-game press conferences. The Miami Heat win tonight against the Portland Trailblazers, 104-92, a game that took a bunch of twists and turns here. The big story for the first half was the ejection of Jimmy Butler, only the second ejection of his career, a guy who typically doesn't get into it with the officials. He was upset about kind of a play that involved Bam, actually. He was talking to one official. He seemed to be walking away. And then Courtney Kirkland, an official who I was told he has a pretty good relationship with, actually tossed him out. So I'm sure we'll hear more about that over the course of the pod and probably get Eric Spoelstra's reaction. But with Jimmy Butler out, a team that was already without Kyle Lowry for personal reasons, second straight game for that, Tyler Hero in the protocol, so he didn't play tonight. So you're talking about three of their so-called big four, a big four that has not played together for more than 11 games this season. Three of those guys out tonight. And here's, to me, the story. We can talk about Caleb Martin, and he was tremendous, and we shouldn't take it for granted that he had 26-8 in the Jimmy Butler role, playing 32 minutes and starting the second half, or Max Strus again hitting a big late shot and finishing the game with 15. That was his only make in the second half. And we can talk about what Dwayne Dedmon did at the start of the fourth quarter, which I think was critical, kind of keeping them in the game, playing against Nurkic again and sort of forcing Nurkic out of the game, which allowed this to happen. I tweeted, it's Bam's turn. And to me, that's the story tonight. This is Bam in Washington a couple of years ago. This is Bam in the playoffs. This is Bam finally looking around and there's no one else to help. And Greg, him doing, we do this, you know, we're hard on him because we love him. It's kind of the thing. We see what he has in him. And we always say this, and I said this on the pod the other night when he came back, the only guy in Bam's way is himself. And tonight he got out of the way. And that three-minute stretch, Greg, from the seven-minute mark left in the fourth quarter until the four-minute mark was, I mean, that is what Eric Spoelstra should play on an absolute loop the next time that Bam goes into a shell, because that is a top 10 player on both ends.
So true. And I can understand where in the first half you didn't see him necessarily that aggressive. So you start to think, oh gosh, like, is this one of those games that's going to slip away? You know, just looking at it overall, Portland got 11 more 3-point field goal attempts up. Like, you usually that doesn't go well just by virtue of the volume of 3-point shots going up. But the Heat tied the rebounding battle. I thought Bam was instrumental there. He really stepped up at the end of the game. Kind of, it had less to do for me. And I know that everyone's going to point to the fact that I think he scored 8 straight right down the stretch. And that's what we want to see from Bam. And I think that that is like it. These are the types of games that maybe we take for granted a little bit, that guys really start to figure out where they can pick their spots and go. But for Bam, he suffocated the Portland Trailblazers down the stretch of that game on both ends. He was everywhere. And that kind of, to be able to kind of flip that switch after not being, not having that great of a game, I guess, to start, to me, that shows me that Bam is feeling good. And it's exactly what we wanted to see. We're going to get into the other guys and why I think that kind of the bigs weren't really in position early on in this game to do much anyway. But yeah, man, the Bam stuff, no ceiling.
You mentioned the guards, or you mentioned the way he guarded. And there was one sequence where Simons, who is a player, by the way, I mean, they're going to have a decision now on what direction they go, because Lillard's out the rest of the season, apparently. And Simons has emerged now, former late first round pick. And Simons tried to get by Bam. He tried. I mean, he tried to shake him, and there was just no shaking him. And we have said before that Bam sometimes will feed off his defense into his offense, right? But you know the defense is going to be there. I mean, there were a couple of possessions that didn't even involve him that much. There's one possession, Brady, which, I mean, that Caleb Martin, PJ Tucker, Gabe Vincent suffocation possession was ridiculous. And I know you're going to break that down for tomorrow. But this time, you know, Bam translating it to offense directly and then feeding off of his own offense. When the ball went back, he took a jumper that he missed. Okay. And this was another possession that jumped out to me. There was a jumper. He went straight up. He missed it. Tucker made an incredible save to keep it in bounds. It got back out to Vincent. Vincent went back to Bam. Bam went straight to the basket. Okay. And that was, you know, again, we talk about when Nurkic is in there and playing against the bigger big, that maybe he shies away a little more. He did a lot of his damage against Watkins, but that's, I mean, was it anything scheme wise, Brady, or is it just Bam seeing the situation and going?
I do think it's just him going. And you mentioned that play, and I actually remember that play because he was looking for the handoff right before that. And he looked to his right. And I think that might've been one where the two shooters were on the floor together. He looked to his right, went for the handoff. It wasn't there. He went back to his left. The handoff wasn't there. Then he went into the jumper and it missed, but it's like, he went right into the jumper. So it does not matter. Like, that's all that matters in that instance. But the biggest thing here to me, like, the offensive stuff is good. And I know it's all we talk about, and we know what it is defensively. But this was pure defensive domination, like, from the entire team. But it was spearheaded by Bam. Like, I know it was a lot of Gabe fronting. There was at one point, I don't know what it ended up as, but I saw it was Bam and Gabe combined for 8 steals. And it was like beginning of the fourth quarter. And it was like, this is just what they're doing now. And I do want to say one quick thing, because it ties into Bam. And it's something I talked about a while back with Spoelstra, the game against Utah, where he basically turned the whole thing around defensively in the second half because Donovan Mitchell was going crazy. He put PJ on Donovan. Bam was guarding Gobert. So every time they ran the pick and roll, it was PJ switching on to Gobert and Bam switched on to Donovan. And it pretty much shifted things in the third quarter. That's exactly what happened in this game. Like, it's the exact same thing, copy and pasted, of what Spo did, that he put PJ Tucker on CJ McCollum. Bam was on Nurkic. As long as people were talking about Nurkic on PJ, like, PJ ended up with, I think it was 3 rebounds. That is not a stat that adds up whatsoever. If you watch a game and then look over there, because PJ Tucker creates so much room. That guys like Caleb Martin, I saw at one point, was leading the team in rebounds because he just clears people out and he gets guys, other guys get rebounds. But that move right there, Bam locking up CJ on the perimeter and not having to worry about the backside because PJ's sitting there and can clear out a Nurkic if possible. If they get an extra possession here or there, like, you let that be, because you just had 3 possessions prior where you just locked them up and they miss. Like, it just felt like that's the times where you're looking at a team, as you mentioned, they don't have their three of their 4 best players. But it's also, you know, they don't have Oladipo at this time. Kyle Lowry's a high-level defensive player. Jimmy Butler's their second-best defender on this team behind Bam Adebayo. Like, they don't have their defensive talent. Obviously, they have defensive talent like Gabe and Caleb right behind them. But this is just an incredible way for Bam just to spearhead things defensively, as you mentioned, and create things offensively. It just felt like defensively, he was everywhere. Like, every time you looked over, he was in a play, making a deflection, making a steal. That this was just totally him putting his fingerprints on this game.
You imagine what they're going to be when they have them all healthy defensively? I mean, we're looking at what Caleb and Gabe are doing together with Bam and Tucker. Now that's four. Then you get Lowry and you get Butler and you get Oladipo. I mean, you have seven elite defenders, seven elite defenders. What Heat team in history? And they've had some great defensive teams, and we'll get into those. I mean, obviously, you know, the big three Heat were a monster defensively, but mostly because of just the havoc they created in the passing lanes and how they transitioned that to their offense with Dwayne and LeBron sort of leading it. But they didn't have as many. I mean, Shane was a terrific positional defender. Bosch was great once he kind of developed that in terms of blitzing the pick and rolls. You know, Chris Anderson, you know, was a pretty decent shot blocker. Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers were good point of attack defenders, but not like they didn't have this. Okay. And then you go back to the late 90s, which were obviously elite teams that ground you down. Right. And Zoe, all time elite defender. Right. But then look at the rest of the roster. PJ was a plus defender. Obviously Bruce Bowen was a plus defender. Dan Marley was, but more for his physicality because there was some age there, but Hardaway was not, Mash was not, Vashawn Leonard was really not. I mean, this is different, Greg. I mean, what they can do to you defensively, like, and I know I want to get back to Bam, but just I'm watching this, like Portland had no chance. They just had no chance on most of those possessions. None.
The versatility is unmatched. And I think Spoelstra's ability to creatively use that versatility shouldn't be underrated. And there was that play, you referenced it earlier, where Gabe dove for the ball and got a loose ball. Gabe has a guaranteed contract for next year. If you think Eric Spoelstra is not saying, look, this guy has guaranteed money and he is diving on the floor like his NBA life depends on it, like that kind of personifies all of these guys that they've found. And that's like the difference between a guy kind of diving for the ball and a guy literally laying out his body to grab a basketball. Like that's the kind of stuff that I think when you get all of the talent back and then the talent for talent is equal, or in like games like tonight against Portland, you would have had superior talent. That's the kind of stuff that in the playoffs shows up, particularly when the games get physical, when the intensity level goes up. So I think that they couldn't be happier with all of these guys, Dwayne Dedman included. I don't think we should.
He was great tonight.
How great he came in when Bam kind of was still getting his feet underneath him. Dedman was a steadying force. And I know that they were screaming for Omer for some of those offensive droughts.
Again, I like Omer, but there's something that Dedman provides with this particular group where he just fits perfectly. And he has given you some of those stretches where he just dives to the rim. He makes himself available. He's got good hands. And he finishes. And really, that's all you're asking him to do offensively. He does all the other stuff. He screen sets. He sort of mimics so much of what Tucker does, which I think is why, at least in terms of the screen setting and the selfless stuff, which I think is why they fit so well together. The other thing that sort of jumped out, and there's some other things I want to get to in the second half of the pod, but the other thing that jumped out to me tonight, too, is that we talk about these role guys like Tucker, Caleb and Strus and Vincent. But the thing about it, you know, beyond what Martin and Vincent are providing defensively is offensively, when those guys are out there, the ball moves. It really does. Like, and it is a noticeable difference compared to when sort of Jimmy and Bam are out there together. And there's a little bit of sort of pounding that's going on there in terms of, you know, just a little bit more one-on-one play and that kind of stuff. But I really thought that jumped out in the first half, and that kind of kept them afloat for a period of time until the defense could take over at the end of the game. All right. I want to pose sort of a philosophical question here about Bam when we come back, because I want to get back to the Bam topic. And then we do have to talk Caleb, because I don't want to take a 26-8 game for granted for a two-way contract. This is ludicrous. And we're doing an episode soon. How do they keep this guy long-term? I think we're at that point, and we always get it at this point with guys that the Heat find, but we will break down the mechanics of that, not just this season, but into the future on a future episode. Before we do, we'll tell you about another great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is where you go for all your daily fantasy. It's prizepicks.com. Put down an initial deposit. You can go up to $100. They will match it up to $100. You don't have to play $100 at the first try. You can play 20. You can play 10. You can play flex play. You can sort of go halfway in. You can play power play. But make that deposit. Check out the boards. Tonight, I don't know that our advice would have paid off for you that well because we went Jimmy over on points. That didn't work out, but some of the other ones did. Go to prizefix.com. Use the code 5. We should have gone for technicals over 1.5, and we would have hit that one. But go to prizepicks.com. That's the daily fantasy partner of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. And of course, you can pair different players from different teams, but also from different sports. So if you're a Panther fan, if you're a Dolphin fan, you got to play the NFL games this weekend. But pair them all together and just have some fun with it. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5. And of course, we always mention to you our product codes. Okay, 5 is 5 RSN. That's the number. That's the product code. It's the number 5 RSN. You can get your premium CBD 25% off at therapistpreferred.com. That's all kinds of premium CBD, whether it's the tincture or the gummies or anything else that they have there on the site. And also, if you're an endurance athlete, check out getsalis.com. This is our new sponsor, getsalis.com, getsalis.com. Replace your electrolytes in a natural way. You'll be able to run longer and you'll feel a lot better. So check out getsalis.com for 10% off with our product code 5RSN. Philosophical question for you, Greg. We like these. Do you think that Eric Spoelstra, because he's always thinking big picture, you're in the moment, you're in a game, you're pissed at Courtney Kirkland. You don't want your best player going out, obviously, you know, at the spur of the moment when you already don't have your point guard and you don't have your sixth man of the year. Okay. But do you think in the big picture that after it happens that Eric is thinking, good. We can't rely on Jimmy down the stretch to make the free throws, which is the way that he kind of settles those games down. We got one of our stars left. I feel like you need these games when you go on. Do you think that Eric Spoelstra deep down is saying to Chris Quinn or to Malik Allen or to Anthony Carter, or any of the other guys on the bench, okay, this is a growth experience for us. And this is a growth experience for number 13.
Definitely, particularly because they won. But I would be lying if I said Spoelstra is signing up for many 17-minute Kyle Guy games going forward, particularly the way he looked tonight. So I don't want to give too much of that. This is just how Spoelstra would have drawn it up. But I do think that there's legs to the idea of Bam. This was a game, Ethan, to your point, like he looks around at the rest of this roster once Jimmy got ejected, and there is just no doubt. I mean, he probably made more money per year than the other four guys he was on the court with the majority of the night tonight. So there was no doubt that they needed Bam to show what he showed tonight. And so, yes, I think that the short answer is absolutely where I thought you were going to go with that question is, should Spoelstra have backed Jimmy Butler up and gotten tossed out of this game too? Because I thought that second technical was such BS. It's almost like each ref teed up Jimmy for the first incident separately. And then those two technicals added up to two. And I thought Spoelstra was going to take one for the team with his superstar and get ejected as well. But I'm glad you went the other direction.
It's an interesting thought there. We may never find out what Jimmy actually said, but I have to think because it is a veteran official. So I'm going to give Courtney Kirkland some benefit of the doubt here. He's not known as like a Tony Brothers type or one of sort of the hotheads or a Joey Crawford from back in the day. And Tony Brothers isn't a hothead. He just makes a lot of bad calls. But Courtney, he's fairly respected. Okay. And I know Jimmy respects him. I checked this out. I think it had to be something extremely personal is the only thing that I can think of that would have led to that. There are certain guys like Bill Kennedy and others. They don't do that unless it's something extremely personal. So we may find out, we may not find out, but here's the reason I don't think he had to do it tonight. I think there are certain times that a coach will do that if he feels like he needs to get control of his team, like he needs to get the respect of his team. I don't think Eric needs to do that with his team. I don't think it's necessary for him to get that ejection. I've seen coaches do that. I've heard of coaches who do that, who they're just trying to show their team, I'm the tough guy. I have your back. I feel like this team knows that Eric has their back because again, and Jimmy, there's obviously a symbiotic relationship between the two of them. But as I've said many times, these role players, alpha role players or not, which they showed again tonight that they are, they owe their careers to Eric. I don't think he has to. stand up for them in that way. All right, Ray, I'm going to go to you here to close. And again, check out our sponsors, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, therapistpreferred.com, and getselise.com. Use the code 5RSN. And of course, check out if you have any kind of issues, personal injury issues, Eric Rubenstein, 954. You can really dial the one. 829 ERIC is where you go on that. Check out his Instagram page. It's very entertaining. Ask about me. I got you. You'll see a lot of Rick Ross actually on the page. I kind of want to meet Rick Ross. I'm going to ask Eric about this. Brady, let me go to you about this one. When you look at this team and you look at all the options that they have, but more so than that, when you look at the way that they handle themselves now down the stretch of games, which is something that was a question, but they've had a few of these lately and they've figured out ways to close them. Does this just look like a June team to you?
Definitely. And we're talking about the guys that are, 11, 12, 13 on the roster that look like a June team that could be probably playing on a June team. That's the crazier part about this, because they have to make decisions going forward. It's full stress to make decisions. But I do want to say, particularly specifically about this game, there were a couple of things. And it's something I replied to you, Greg, about this the other day when Gabe was starting, and they treat Gabe like Kyle when they don't have Kyle. And I think that says a lot about this team, but it also says a lot about Gabe that they can trust him in those spots. I feel like specifically talking about straight improvements, this is a guy that has improved his handle to another level. And that's why he's able to kind of get to these different spots on the floor and get to the rim and make these different reads. But the difference is his vision is at another level right now too, where he's becoming this playmaker when he's not Kyle Lowry, but he can play to the level of a Kyle Lowry light. Because you look at Dwayne Dedman, and you touched on him getting the 8 points to start the fourth. I think every one of those points in one way was from Gabe Vincent. It was a pick and roll from Gabe. The one you mentioned, he dove on the floor. Every one of them was Gabe feeding him. That's just the boost he gives you. And that's not even talking about defensively. Like, this is just offensive end. We always talk about the three coming along eventually. This other stuff seems more important to note. Like, it feels like now the three is a given, that it doesn't even matter if he's shooting it at a decent level. Like, he's giving you this other parts of his game that we didn't know about that's just coming along. Caleb, you know, we have to mention him, the 26 points. You mentioned him plugging in Jimmy Butler's role, and it has. He's done that to another level where he's able to kind of play in a similar way. And he did that in the third quarter. But the interesting thing to me is that he's plugged not only Jimmy's role, but he's plugged probably every guy on this team's role. Like, he's played in different spots of the floor and in different roles all season. And even in this game, there were times I could probably count 4 to 5 of them where he got put in the dunker spot role when PJ wasn't on the floor. And he just made an incredible pass to the opposite corner, or a little flip pass inside to Dedman. Like, that was just happening continuous, that there's a plug and play guys that can fill certain guys' role because they're just that similar type of player. But there's also plug and play guys that are just this versatile that you can put on anybody on the floor defensively and also put anywhere offensively. And that's why this guy, I feel like, is in the rotation long-term. Like, when you talk about trying to figure out to flip a contract, this is an Eric Spoelstra guy. I feel like we say that a lot about certain defensive guys, but there is a certain just realm around him that you can put him anywhere on both ends of the floor and you can trust him down the stretch. And he's done that since probably the first in between the first 10 games of the season, he was trusting him down the stretch of games, even when they were healthy. So there's just different parts of this. I think Max gave them a decent boost early to kind of get them in this position. I think that was kind of a helpful, but I think Gabe and Caleb are the main parts, just the defensive parts that they held that I think they needed to kind of stay in this game. But offensively, these guys are showing enough right now that it's making Spoelstra's. Obviously, we say it's a good problem, but it's still a problem. Like, it's still something that he has to make decisions upon, and it's getting harder by the day to make these decisions.
You know, you mentioned that they're trusting Gabe to be Kyle. They're trusting Caleb to be Jimmy. They're trusting Max to be Duncan. They're basically trusting guys to just fill these roles of players with bigger pedigrees. And I think they trusted Kyle Guy to be Tyler tonight. That didn't work out as well. But
Omer to be Bam.
And Omer to be Bam. That did work out at times, not defensively maybe, but they are trusting these guys. But look, Caleb Martin is not Jimmy Butler. Obviously, there's a whole other element that comes with Jimmy's game and just the IQ and the intelligence, you know, everything that he brings, the physicality. But I'll say this, Jimmy doesn't have Caleb's first step. I mean, that drive from the baseline, man, like, what the hell
think he's
was
got
that?
Hops I, either. Caleb's I got mean, some hops now.
I, wow. I mean, I, I The hops, I mean, we've seen, but that first, I mean, that's a lightning first step. I mean, I've seen some first steps. I covered Dwayne's early career. Like, that is something like that. That, wow. Anyway, so there we are. You know, the Heat are, I guess, are they in the one seed now, Greg? What do we know? What is the percentage point?
So I know I hit you with this late breaking news right now on the NBA app. Miami is in the one seed by literally a tenth of a percentage point, 644 winning percentage over 643 by Chicago, but they may or may not have added Chicago's victory tonight. But for right now, and all that matters is the now, the Heat are in the one seed on NBA.com, folks.
Well, there you go. As we speak, by the way, I just want to tell you the level of maturity from some broadcasters around the country. Our friend Eddie Jones, Eddie Johnson, just check out his feed tonight. The former Suns guard, who, by the way, once was a guest a couple times on my radio show. So I've talked to Eddie before, but just check out Jump Shot 8 if you want to see a little bit of jealousy from other teams around the league about what the Heat have going on tonight. I'm sure you caught it, Greg. Anyway, everybody have a good night. And we'll be back tomorrow. Actually, we got a special episode coming up tomorrow. Chris Herring, who's one of the best NBA writers in the country, a friend of mine and somebody I've been looking forward to getting on the podcast again. He came out with a new book called Blood in the Garden, which is about the New York Knicks in the 90s, which means it's a lot about Pat Riley. So we're going to have a lot of Pat Riley conversations tomorrow on the podcast. As we get you ready again for the game against Atlanta on Friday night. And we'll have that game staff too. Our Gadiel Cartagena is going to be up there in Atlanta. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Fire Regional Sports Network.